In St. John's Gospel, there are two scenes involving the mother of Jesus, the miracle at Cana in chapter 2, and the crucifixion of Jesus, the passage we just heard from chapter 19. In either of these chapters does the name Mary appear, and as interesting, scholars remind us that the two scenes are linked by the word hour. At the wedding feast, Jesus initially rebuffs his mother's request because his hour has not yet come. But he performs the first of his signs in response to Mary's faith, her request. Mary has taken the risk of trusting his word when she tells the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." This results, we know, in the first miracle, the sign on the deepening of faith in the lives of his disciples. Now the woman, who is prepared to commit all to the word of Jesus, stands by her son's cross. She is the model of faith and is now given as mother to the beloved disciple, who clearly is present as the model of all disciples, that is us. But the model disciple, John, must learn from the woman of faith, and he does there by standing there with her, not losing his faith, or giving in to discouragement, fear. As a mother, Mary is always united with Jesus. From the Annunciation to the Ascension, Mary is there for Jesus' ministry. She's there for him and with him. And it is a love that unites her to him. Because of her love, she is faithful to her son, even when she does not understand, and even most especially at the foot of the cross, helpless and at loss before the horror of the crucifixion and suffering of her beloved son. Mary continues to be there, giving the gift of her presence, even in suffering and struggle. She is faithful. A gift that we offer to Christ and his church, a gift that Sister does today in a profession of her vows. Pope Francis, shortly after his election, said religious life ought to promote growth in the church by way of attraction. "Wake up the world," he said, "be witnesses of a different way of doing things, of acting, and of living." The Pope was asked, "Well, how does one wake up the world, especially as a consecrated religious? And how do sisters wake up the world?" It is that vows are impossible to live without a heart full of joy. And this would require, and does require, focus without distraction. In a society in a time when commitment is measured by days, but not years, in an increasingly secular environment, sister and those religious women and men present, and priests, join the faithful in marriage, the great gift of their vocation, to live and to model fidelity. But how specifically do consecrated religious wake up the world? They take the world in their hearts, and in their prayer things change. People are healed. Life is transformed. Hearts and lives are expanded when they're full of love. And a religious is asked to be in the world but not of the world. To make this point, Pope Francis went on to say, "It is possible to live differently in this world. Religious should follow the Lord in a special way, in a prophetic way. And it is this witness that I expect of you," the Holy Father said. "Religious should be men and women who are able to wake up the world." This is not easy, and Sister knows this. Anyone who makes a commitment knows this. But the challenge specifically for religious life and its mission is reflected best in the words of Blessed Pope Paul VI. He said, "Whatever their size, communities large and small will not succeed in helping their members unless they're constantly animated by the gospel spirit, nourished by prayer, and distinguished by generous mortification of the body, by the discipline necessary for forming the new person, and by the fruitfulness of the sacrifice of the cross." Though not a member of a religious community, we have present here sisters from the Franciscan community, the Carmelites, the Missionaries of Charity, our own community of Sisters Mary, the Mother of the Church. as we are joined by priests of the religious community, the Jesuit fathers. We also have our diocesan priests of the Archdiocese of Denver, of Boise, of Youngstown, of the Byzantine Eparchy, of our own Diocese of Spokane. Although we may live a different community as diocesan priests, your community life gives witness, but it must be a support and a sign of consecrated life. It is not easy. Community life, I am told, is a constant challenge, as it is to be in a presbyterate. But most priests go home to different rectories. Religious live together, primarily. And so differences in age and in cultures, even ecclesiologies, must always be rooted in faith in Christ and above all humility. For religious serve Christ and his church, and they do so always aware of the fragile nature of all who profess a belief in Christ. Pope Francis asked, how can we combat the tendency toward individualism, not just in society, but in religious life? And he addressed this by saying the religious community has an enormous power to call people together. The illnesses of a community, on the other hand, have a power to destroy a religious community. The temptation against community life is that which is most disruptive to progress and to holiness and consecrated life. Sometimes it may be difficult. Your work and even your prayer can become an escape. But if a person cannot live in community, she cannot live in religious life. Knowing this, however, sister and all of you profess your vows. And you do so, hopefully, in that spirit of humility, but also a spirit of forgiveness and reconciliation, which leads to peace and harmony and a joy that attracts people to Jesus Christ. Again, in this culture where fidelity and commitment is in disdain, if not ignored, you stand before us to say yes to the Lord and ask for the grace to persevere. We are blessed with the long history of contributions of religious women and men in our diocese, and we continue to need religious and priests and deacons and lay faithful, most especially our parents, our families, to follow Christ ever more closely. In this gathering of so many families and young people, it is my opportunity to thank you for your prayers for Sister and to the priests and religious of our diocese. With our young people here, especially those that Sister may work with at Eastern University and the campus ministry, it is an opportunity for me to ask you to be faithful to your life of prayer. And for each of our young people here and each of our families, to ask the Lord to guide you with a simple question, Lord, help me to be what you've called me to be. There has been much that can burden our church over these last few decades, but the words of Jesus in another passage of the Gospels, Matthew, know that I am with you to the end of the age, should be a source of all of us for strength, for peace, and the cause of our joy. The Lord is with us. He is with Sister. He is with this church. And in this church, he still calls young men and women to say yes. A yes for life. God bless you, sister, and be assured of our prayers.